magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Mike, come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Dutch Arcade Show. I am your host, Jared, sitting in for Eli, who is somehow still traveling. We're not even really sure where he's at this point. He's just kind of taking different, you know, airlines across the world. No destination in mind. He's just a nomad at this point. But that means that we get to be graced by one Carter Dotson for the second week in a row. Hello, Carter.
I'm glad to be back again.
We've kind of just decided that we're going to kick Eli off the podcast for good and just have Carter be a permanent host.
Yes.
And I think everyone's cool with that. Even Eli, he seems pretty for it. So.
Yeah, Eli in the work chat was. I think he has come to accept that I've stolen his job.
You have, which is fine. If you are listening to this for the first time, welcome and thank you for downloading or streaming. We are TouchArcade.com. We're a website on the internet, and we cover iPhone and iPad gaming, and it also pretty much crosses over universally to Android as well. So if you're on the Android side of things, we still got a lot of stuff to offer you. And because there is a touchscreen and it's technically a mobile device, we've decided that we're going to cover Nintendo Switch stuff too, and that's been going pretty well. I don't know, touch arcade, touch screen, Nintendo Switch makes sense to me. Anyway,
Full Manager Touch just came out on Switch today, so you
which
know,
did?
touch our arcade. Hey, yeah, I think it works.
Yes, we're making it work somehow. Not that we need to justify the stuff we cover on our website, I feel, but anyway. So if you haven't checked us out before, TouchArcade.com, all the best in mobile gaming news, reviews, all that sort of stuff, as well as this podcast. And we are primarily supported through Patreon. So if you like what we do, please check out our Patreon. It's at patreon.com/TouchArcade. And we'd like to stream games on twitch.tv/TouchArcade. Is that right?
Yes, you got it.
What else do we do? We Twitter stuff sometimes on twitter.com/TouchArcade. Oh, and if you'd like to support us but you don't like doing the whole Patreon thing, another great way to help us out is to do your Amazon shopping through our affiliate link, which you can find at TouchArcade.com/Amazon. And you basically click that. It'll send you through to Amazon. You do all the normal shopping you do anyway because Amazon just carries everything. And why would you ever leave your house? And we get a little tiny slice of whatever you buy. And it's not much, but it does add up and it helps us out a lot. And finally, if you just don't want to give us any sort of money whatsoever, that's cool. But definitely, you know, tell your friends about Touch Arcade. If you have friends that have mobile phones or a Switch or whatever, and they're constantly looking for cool games, tell them that Touch Arcade is the place to go to find the cool games and avoid all of the dumb crap. There's a lot of dumb crap on the App Store. So
more like the crap store.
Yeah. And so I guess I covered everything. I don't know. I should probably make a rundown of the intro someday, all the stuff I'm supposed to cover. But I think I got the important stuff.
Yeah, I'd also say if you have Amazon Prime, you can link your account to Twitch. And once a month, you can give out a free Twitch subscription. And we get some kickback from that. And it costs you absolutely nothing other than your Amazon Prime subscription. But it's just another benefit they throw on top of there.
Yes, and it's pretty cool, and I actually do that myself, despite the fact that I work for Touch Arcade. Some people made fun of me for that when they saw that I was a Twitch subscriber to the website I work for. But whatever, I'm not gonna subscribe to any other Twitches, so why might as well.
Look, Ninja has enough Twitch subs as it is. He might get Drake on his streams, but I'm sure I could. I'm pretty sure if I wanted, I could find some like SoundCloud rappers to be on.
You know, before Drake, we had Blake, and that was almost the same. Not really, but
Blake can spit some mad rhymes, I think.
Blake could probably spit some mad rhymes, yes. We're going a little old school there, if you even know who Blake is. He's one of the co-founders of Tetracade, and is a jolly good bloke, I must say. But he no longer does Tetracade stuff. He has, like, a real job or something. But we love Blake. Anyway, moving right along, you had the great idea of reading some emails, and I thought, hey, that's a great idea. And so if you want to reach us at the podcast, it's podcast@tetracade.com, and we do read all emails. And we used to be in the habit of reading them on the air, and then I don't know why we moved away from that. I guess we just sort of fell out of habit. But we don't get a ton of email nowadays, but we urge you to send us something, because we like to read them, and it's fun to read them on the podcast. And so I'm kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel here, because there wasn't a whole lot of email activity in the last few months. But there was a couple of good things. And so let's hop in our time machine and transport back to late December. let's see. And so this is from Callum, I believe is how you pronounce the name. And he says, he or she says, love you guys and have followed the site show for around 6 years. I remember the first time I downloaded based on your suggestion. It was MacGuffin's Curse back in 2012, and it was amazing. That was an amazing game. The one suggestion is around your pronunciation of the word mobile. When you guys say you have 20 years experience with mobile games, but you pronounce mobile wrong, it discredits you and is straight up embarrassing. You seem to say mobile instead of mobile, you know, like bile that is produced by the liver. Not bowl, as in the animal. Have a practice saying it correctly, and if in doubt, just remember the clue to saying it right is in the spelling. Anyway, keep up the good work. So I love this email, because I hate the sound of mobile. I get that it's not...
Mobile. Yeah.
I get that that's not how it's spelled, but I don't know. There's a lot of words that are pronounced not how they're spelled or whatever, and a lot of things can change. And you know what? There's also multiple ways to pronounce things. Mobile and mobile, I feel like, are totally fine. Tomato territory. So I'm not going to start saying mobile unless I'm just being sarcastic about it, I guess. I will continue to say mobile. It's just the way I'm wired. I'm sorry. You're not wrong, Callum, but I don't know. If it bothers you, I'm just going to have to say you might have to deal with it. In your mind, hear it as mobile instead of mobile.
I feel like there has to be like a German word for when people are like right, like they're not wrong, but in some like cosmic way, you're not right. That's how I have a feeling right now. It's like, Callum, I totally understand. I think you have a case here. I just also think, well, no, I'm sorry.
If we're going to have to be, if it discredits us to pronounce it that way, then we consider us discredited. I'm sorry. And if this is the last time you ever listen to our show because of that, I am very sorry. But we are a mobile games podcast. Mobile.
We're one for one reading emails and scaring off the listeners.
One down. How many more to go? This is not an email, but it is a review. And if you review our podcast in iTunes, it helps us somehow. We're not really sure how, but we've always heard that it's a good thing. So if you like our podcast, you've never rated us, please take a moment to do so. And then we have a we get the what are they called, reviews text by email. And so this is a review that somebody had left. How far back are we going now? This is also the end of December. This is actually on New Year's Eve. So DBX me from Brazil, kudos to you for – oh, I guess technically he left the review on December 28th, so that's not that weird. But I was going to say, if you're spending your New Year's Eve reviewing our podcast, you are awesome. But close enough. Let's see. The review says, it's a very nice way to catch up to the iOS gaming scene by none other than the folks from Touch Arcade. Light, kind of funny, and down to earth, it crams much of the news and impressions fabulously. However, it has a few technical issues. Eli has his volume much lower than his peers, making his voice a whisper at the tolerable volume for the podcast. On noisy places where I listen to podcasts at all, it is very hard to listen. Some of the mics have this harsh sound on them, and the intro is good, but far louder than the rest of this folks, especially Eli. That's good. That's good feedback. I don't know any of the technical stuff. I've been doing this podcast for like 7 years or something ridiculous, and I don't even have one of those, you know, little mesh cover thingies for your mic that you told me to get a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. You need to like go on Amazon. Use our referral link okay. So we get some of the kickback. Okay. Go buy a pop filter. I think they're like less than $10 okay. bucks. And yeah, you can do those little like plosive sounds that like pop, pop, pop. Like get one of those and it'll get rid of those. I have one of those on right now. You know what? So maybe I think we figured out why people like me better than Eli.
Because of your pop.
It's because that maybe it's that, but also, when I do these podcasts, I use this old, actually technically defunct piece of software called Levelator. And it levels out both sides of the podcast. It was like designed by this like podcast network, and they released the software for free. And so, and it helps, you know, makes both sides sound even in volume. And I think there's some tricks to like replicate it in Audacity, but that's what I do with my podcast recordings. And that way you don't get the volume issues. So we're going to have to whip Eli into shape here and be like, you gotta improve the levels, Eli.
Well, I'm ready to just like convert my entire office into a podcast studio. I think that would be fun just for this one single podcast that I do. But I don't have the money, so I'm not going to do that. But it would be fun. I just noticed that we have actually another review, and this one's from November, and it's short and to the point. The review is titled, "It's an Okay Show for Games." And the review text says, "I know the App Store Today section is awesome, but it's nice to get third-party recommendations. I hope you guys continue for a long time. 3 stars. Thank you, Racer Homie. That was that's some honest feedback right there. And we will try to continue for a long time, even though we're getting 3-star reviews.
Well, you know, I think that the Racer Homie here, he's... I think he's one of those people that likes to use more of the star scale than PC. You know, video game websites tend to kind of aim to the upper side of the scale, especially on a mobile site like ours, because the App Store has a lot of genuine like 1-star games. Yeah. We just don't touch them because you can find them pretty easily.
True.
You want to hear about the good stuff. But
I think at the end of the day, Racer Homie is just leaving us room for improvement, which really is a nice thing to do. So we're going to try for those extra 2 stars, Racer Homie. And I don't know, there was no real feedback on what we could do different. So I guess we'll just keep doing what we're doing and hope it gets better for him or her.
Maybe improved audio quality.
Maybe.
Well, we're going to set extra
stars. That could be it. That could be it. This is an email from Sarah, also from back in December. She's actually commenting on our December 15th podcast episode. And she says, "Another fun one. But as I was watching, I was admiring Eli's hat and spent a minute figuring out what the logo was, then realized, duh, it was Hearthstone. But you mentioned sometimes wanting to do something extra for the Patreon supporters. I don't know how much of this sort of swag you get, but it seems to me that you could, during the podcast, say something like, if you sign up with Patreon or increase your pledge this week, your name will be put into a drawing for this cool Hearthstone hat or a Zippo hand warmer or 3-hour in Jared's pool. Okay, that last thing isn't swag, but you get the idea. I'm sure you've thought of this already, but hey, just in case you haven't." Thank you, Sarah, for the email. And we've thought of stuff like that, maybe not specifically for Patreon. I know when we were doing the sticker swap, which is a thing that we do during GDC every year, we've been doing for like 5 years or something like that. And all the developers and whoever else gets little stickers made of their app icons or whatever. And then we have like a big sticker swap. And sometimes there's buttons or bumper stickers or other weird little tiny thingies. And so I have quite a collection of stuff like that from over the years. And not to mention weird press kit things that get sent to me in the email. Like I got a giant Roman shield and helmet and sword for when what is that game that's like Diablo that launched not too long ago? I can't think of the name of it right now. Anyway, it'll come to me.
Giant dragon painting. I got a giant dragon painting.
You have a giant dragon painting. We get these weird things, and I don't ask for them. I don't give my address out to anybody. and somehow they get it anyway, and then they send me these things that I don't want. And so one man's trash is another's treasure. So giving that sort of stuff away somehow would be a cool thing, and doing it through Patreon might be cool too. I guess there's some logistics on mailing things out and stuff like that, but I like the idea. I think we can do it. I know Eli has just bucket loads of stupid, you know, crap that he doesn't want either. So I don't know. That's a good idea. Maybe we can do something like that.
So I think I have an idea here. What we'll do is we'll have a – I wonder if, like, we could do this of, like, if you, like, sign up for a certain tier, but, like, the, like, top money giver of that tier becomes the official, like – Touch Arcade address. And so when some PR wants to send us a press kit for something, I don't know, I recently got one that wanted me to, like, plant something, I guess. I'm not 100% sure what it was. Or, you know, or if someone wants to send another giant dragon painting, what we'll do is that top patron will become the official Touch Arcade Towers address, and you will receive all the press kits.
I don't know. Is that a prize? Is that not a punishment?
Well, I...
No.
One man's trash is another man's treasure?
Some people, you know, it's weird because, especially going to conventions and all this stuff, I mean, there's freebie giveaway keychains, whatever, flashlights. I mean, all sorts of weird promotional items. And you just end up getting just bags full of stuff just from walking around, like, show floors and stuff. And I'm always just, like, avoid as much of it as I can because it's just crap that'll sit in a box somewhere taking up space in my house. But, man, some people just go crazy over that stuff. And so someone out there, I'm sure, would appreciate a giant dragon painting or a sword and shield costume or, I don't know, anything else, other things of that nature. So yeah, maybe we can do that. Top patron has to give us their mailing address, and then we're going to mail all the crap to you. That sounds like a really great prize.
Yeah, look. I think it'll be better going off to them than to us.
That I agree with. Better you than me. Here's another review, and this is from March. Oh my gosh, we're getting towards the future now. Or I guess towards the present would be more accurate. This is from Warthog 30, and Warthog gives us 5 stars. Thank you so much.
Whoop whoop.
And Warthog says, I've listened to these guys for years and can't believe I never did them the favor of a solid rating. Excellent podcast that covers iOS, Android, and some Switch games. It's my favorite podcast concerning mobile games. The hosts are knowledgeable and great to listen to. They interact well with each other. They also consistently produce shows, a rarity in the podcasting world. Keep up the great work. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Warthog 30. That's a very nice review.
You know, and there's a good chance of that review happened when it was one of the Carter casts.
You know, I would just go with that and say that that's the case, is that they heard you and were like, oh, this podcast is amazing. I'm going to give them an instant 5 stars. And then they're going to listen this week and be like, oh, well, you're still here. So the 5 stars will continue going. Next week, if Eli's back, we might nosedive. I don't know. We'll see. You know, that's about it for emails and reviews. And so, as you can tell, we went back several months and still only had a handful. So please do send us emails, podcast@touchrk.com, questions, comments, jokes. Send us kind of anything you want. I don't care. And, you know, if it's appropriate, we will read it on the podcast. If nothing else, just to hear your name said on the big screen of a podcast. So moving right along, let's hop into some of the news from the week. I'm going to see if we can kind of blow through this a little bit quicker than we normally do, because we tend to kind of go off on tangents or whatever you want to call it. But, this is the first thing posted since our podcast last week. There's a Wild Arms mobile game coming out in Japan. And I got to say, I remember Wild Arms, but I don't know. I don't know how popular it was. It wasn't my thing. Were you a Wild Arms person?
I wasn't, but my sisters were big fans of it.
Okay. Well, then they might enjoy Wild Arms Million Memories. And It doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot of info on like what kind of game it's going to be, but I could take a pretty good guess that it's going to be some sort of free-to-play action RPG. I don't know, just a stab in the dark. But just interesting to see that name or that brand popping up again, because I don't even know the last time there was a Wild Arms game. I know it was like a PlayStation game originally, so.
Yeah, there might have been some PlayStation 2 games, but that franchise has been dormant for a while.
So here we go. We're going to resurrect Wild Arms with a mobile game coming this year to Japan. No word on a Western release or whatever, but we'll see. We'll keep our eye on that. I was going to give this a quick mention, even though it already happened on Wednesday. The Rock hosted HQ Trivia. And if you thought this thing wasn't about as mainstream as it could get, when The Rock is hosting, that's the big time. So I have all my friends are super into this, and I just am not. And it sort of got to the point where it's annoying, where we're just hanging out. And then, you know, whatever time rolls around when they start a game and everyone just drops what they're doing and are all obsessed with playing HQ Trivia. And I'm just like, okay, well, whatever. But I don't know. It's cool. It's cool. This is so popular and The Rock is a cool guy. So I'm sure he was just promoting his movie more than anything. But HQ Trivia is still very much a thing. And The Rock hosted last week. That's kind of crazy.
I wonder if they're actually like profitable at all yet.
I don't know. I think I don't even really know what you would buy in the game. Like, don't you buy? I don't know. I don't want to.
Well, I don't think you can. Like, you. I don't think you can spend money necessarily. Or I guess they could sell like extra lives, but the whole thing I think would be like sponsorships and things like that. You know, like yeah. If you have that kind of audience, I mean, that's perfect for.
I mean, like a TV show, right?
Yeah.
Basically what it is.
Yeah, sponsored games, you know, ads that pop up. I mean,
yeah,
it feels like they should be monetizing that thing crazy. But, you know, I haven't played in a few weeks, so maybe now it's like, you know, between every question, you know, Scott Rogowski's reading ad copy for talcum powder. I don't know.
Yeah, he gets logos on his suit now, like the NBA players.
He's a giant NASCAR driver.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Okay. Another thing that happened this week is that, well, actually, this happened over the weekend during PAX East in Boston. Jenny LeClue Detective Vue is a point-and-click adventure game that was kickstarted, 2014, 2015? No, I think 2014, something like that. Quite a while ago. And then it was kind of known for they released a playable teaser on the App Store in 2015, which is kind of an interesting thing that you don't normally see all the time. What it was like its own little self-contained story that's separate from what they're making in the full game. But it kind of just gave you an idea of the characters and the environments and how the game will play and all that stuff. And it's this totally free little story you can play. So if you look up Jenny LeClue, LeClue on the App Store, you can play that free teaser and see what it's like. But anyway, for PAX, the developers, Mografi Games, they released a new trailer and it looks really awesome. I'm super psyched for this game. I think it looks really cool. A lot of personality. You're solving a mystery of your mom gets arrested for murder or something like that. And you know she didn't do the murder, so it's up to you to kind of like, you know, clear her name. Something along those lines. A mystery whodunit sort of thing, I guess. But it looks really cool. Check out the new trailer. And that game should be launching on Steam. It's launching this year. And then after that, some point, they're going to do a mobile version. So unfortunately, mobile will be later, but at least it's getting close to being done.
Yeah, and definitely follow the developers of that game on Twitter. They post like all kinds of their animation work, and the game looks fascinating.
It's really awesome, yeah. This week, Guildlings put out a call for beta testers, and that is the new game from the creator of Threes. And I guess the interesting thing about this is that we still don't know what the heck Guildlings is. Do you know?
I kind of do. I'm sworn to secrecy because I played like a really early version of this back in like 2015.
Okay. Wow.
So I can't really talk about it.
Okay.
I kind of have an idea of what it is, but then again, the game might have changed a lot over those 2.5 years.
True.
So,
well, we won't get you into any trouble, but if it's from the creator of Threes, I feel like that's something you should be interested in. And Guildlings, the latest promo art for it looks really awesome. Apparently, there's some sort of characters. It might be a battling game. I don't know. Am I getting colder or warmer? Or you don't want to get in trouble. Never mind.
It's going to wind up being a battle royale game.
It's going to be Fortnite, but not. So Guildlings looks super cool. Looking for beta testers. You can follow the link through the story on our site if you want to try and get in to do some testing. And then you'll be part of the exclusive club that knows what the heck this game even is. And that would be cool. You'd be even cooler than me. That's not hard.
Nerd.
Next week on April 18th, Spiderwebs Avernum 3 Ruined World is hitting the iPad. And we love Spiderweb Software stuff. They make super old school style RPGs that are just very, very, very a certain type of game. They're very niche, very old school 90s influenced. But they have really cool worlds to explore and really in-depth stories and character development and all that good stuff. So if you're really into hardcore RPGs, then you're probably already familiar with the Spiderweb Software stuff. But it's nice that they're releasing these games on the iPad because I feel like that works super well on iPad. And it's disappointing to me that there's no iPhone version, but I also don't think these games would work on the iPhone. There's just too much stuff happening, but who knows. So anyway, if you like Spiderweb stuff, look for Avernum 3 on iPad next week. It launched on Steam and stuff 2 or 3 months ago, maybe January. So finally ready for the iPad version.
Yeah, and wasn't there an issue with the developer and like the engine didn't run on iPad for a while?
There was. It was 2 or 3 years ago. Apple, one of their iOS updates or one of their mandates came down or something that essentially just broke the heck out of all those games, the engine that they used to make them and stuff. And it was right when they were about to release Avernum 2, actually, and like a couple weeks before, if I remember right. And so the guy that runs Spiderweb Software is literally a guy and his wife, and he does everything. And I think she does more of like the marketing side and things like that. But like, so it's basically one guy making games for the last 20 years, and they're pretty hardcore involved games. But anyway, he kind of threw his hands up in the air. Is like, well, I just don't have the manpower or the money to go back and fix all these things and do what Apple wants me to do and all this stuff. So we're going to no longer release any more iPad versions of our games, and we're not going to be able to maintain the ones we have released and all this stuff. And it was very doom and gloom. And then I came to find out that the issue wasn't actually that big of an issue, and he was able to fix it and able to release Avernum 2 and able to continue releasing his games on iPad. And so it was nice. It was a crisis averted moment. But I don't know, especially as a solo developer, you got to be scared when just all of your eggs are in the Apple basket and Apple starts making crazy rules about stuff. And I mean, they can just ruin your business with, you know, a single email. It's kind of scary that way. But luckily it all worked out for him, though.
Yeah, and I was also thinking about the choice of games people, and I think Apple wound up like reversing the decision that they had to make a compilation app instead of releasing separate apps, something like that.
I kind of think that with that situation, and just to briefly recap, Choice of Games makes tons of game books, and they've been releasing them for years and years and years. And so they have like, I don't know, 100 apps in the App Store or something like that. All of these different game books, and they all use the same engine. And so just by nature, I mean, it's a game book. It's 99.999% text with, you know, some illustrations of here and there. But anyway, so all the games really look similar to each other because they are just text on a page or text on a screen, really. But they are, in fact, all different games. I mean, they're all as different as books are different from each other. So out of nowhere, Apple kind of reached out to them and was like, hey, you know, you're just kind of re-releasing these same games in the same engine, and it's starting to constitute spam. And so what you need to do is create like a hub app and start releasing your games through the hub app, and that's it, and stop releasing single, you know, separate versions. And Choice of Games people were like, well, that sucks. We hadn't planned on doing that. So also, they don't really feel like their games are spam. They're literally different books. But so they cobbled together a hub app of sorts and released that. And so going forward, they're going to release all of their stuff through the hub app. This caught the ire of Sean, who works for us and is a big Choice of Games fan. And it also irritated me. I think we went off on a tangent a couple of weeks ago about it. But just because it's the amount of crap that Apple does let through that is legitimate spam and is legitimate reskinning of engines and just, you know, re-releasing crap over and over and over, that they don't seem super eager to stop. But then Choice of Games, who's actually releasing this really high quality stuff, is getting dinged over it. Just didn't sit right with any of us. But so kind of what I'm thinking happened is that we made a stink out of it, and some other people made a stink out of it, and kind of put the burden on Apple as the person that caused all of this drama. And then I think Apple probably reached out and was like, hey, it's cool. Like, well, you don't have to do that if you don't want to, I guess. And so I don't know. I feel like after the blame got shifted to Apple, they were like, what? No, we never said that. It's no, you're fine. Just keep releasing your game books or whatever. I don't know. So I don't know. I guess going forward, they're still probably going to use the hub app. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably a cleaner way to do things. But I don't know. It just seemed like one of those silly Apple things that happens from time to time where they come up with some sort of crazy rule or whatever.
Yep.
Anyway. I'm going to skip some of these stories, Carter, if that's okay with you. I don't want to talk about Hearthstone. I don't know anything about Hearthstone. Do you play Hearthstone?
I played some Hearthstone. So back in the dark ages of when I left Touch Arcade for 7.5 months, I wound up having to be the Hearthstone guy due to a personnel change.
Oh.
And that was interesting.
So you got thrown into the fire and had to just learn everything about Hearthstone quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the thing that like turned me off of Hearthstone was, so granted, I was using this like trash deck, but I was streaming and someone was like, why don't you use a deck with like all Knights of the Frozen Throne cards? And I was like, okay, I'll do that. Uh-huh. And I get up on this guy, like I have like 24 health. He has some small number I've got like 8 minions. Like I've got like a full row of minions.
Did he pull out some magical card and destroy you?
He didn't just pull out some magical card to destroy me. He kept pulling out just complete garbage that just wiped me out and turned it around. And mind you, I'm on camera and I'm like, oh my god. And I'm literally like, nope. And I went up like my old apartment, my kitchen was right behind my desk. Uh-huh. It's a desk building the apartment. So I go there and I go in and I'm just making like a whiskey ginger like on camera. And I'm like, now I will say I was exaggerating what I was doing, but there I went back and rewatched that at one point. It's like, there was a lot of genuine emotion there. That was dumb. And I haven't really touched Hearthstone ever since.
Yeah, but have you been touching the sauce?
I don't touch the sauce that much. I mean, okay. There's some scotch behind me. I could start drinking that, you know.
Hearthstone drives man to drinking. I just never could get into Hearthstone. I don't like the card games anyway, but I'm glad that other people on our staff do, so that I don't have to be put in your position where I have to learn it. So anyway,
you have to pay like $50 every few months to buy, you know, the big set of card packs that they give you, and you might get 2 or 3 legendaries at best out of them, and then you have to keep getting card packs.
There's loot boxes, man.
That game
wrecking the world.
Yeah, I don't know how many people are actually like paying for Hearthstone, but they're probably making a lot of money off the people that do. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, if you are into Hearthstone, the Witchwood expansion came out yesterday, I think it was. And that's a big expansion with some expansion-y stuff in it. I don't know. I don't play Hearthstone. I don't know.
Yeah, if you play Hearthstone, you probably know what's going on.
Probably. It's got new cards in it. I know that much. So
It's got new cards. It's got new stuff. You know, go play it.
This is a story that's more up my alley. Field Runners and Field Runners 2 got iPhone 10 updates this week, and that felt like out of the blue for me, because I don't know, those games are super old. I was really surprised that they would keep, you know, updating them. But anyway, full screen iPhone 10 support for both the original and Field Runners 2. And when I was getting ready to write this story, I started playing the updated Field Runners and then like lost 2 hours to playing it. So it's still a very good game, even though it's like came out in 2009. I don't know. It's old.
Long time ago.
And then Field Runners 2 is also super good. I hadn't played that in a while either. And so, yeah, if you have never checked these ones out, give them a look. They're still really good. And they have iPhone 10 support now. So if you're like me and you're real fickle about that sort of thing, you can be happy that it has full screen support now. Banner Saga 3 is hitting desktop and console on July 24th. And then after that, the mobile versions will be coming sometime later this year. Unspecified, but they did say this year. So that is very cool. I love the Banner Saga.
Well.
Say what?
Switch version's coming as well. I think the entire trilogy is coming to Switch.
Yes. They specifically say it's weird because 3 is hitting all platforms minus mobile. It's hitting all platforms on the same day, which I guess was kind of a big undertaking for them. And so I know that 1 and 2 are heading to Switch, but I don't know the release date of those. But I'd imagine it makes sense to release them before 3. But we'll see. I don't know. And then I actually didn't mention it in the story, but it was part of the press email they sent out. 505 Games is going to make a physical version too that's like the entire trilogy on one disc or something like that. And I was like, dang, can't you just release that for Switch but digitally? Because then I just have all three games in one and that would just feel nice to me. But I don't know. Whatever. So if you want a physical version, that's a thing that's going to come around the time of launch too. But I'm a digital guy now. I don't buy any physical games anymore. I have no interest in having to switch cartridges or discs or things like that. So I'm all digital.
I have a weird relationship with like buying physical games, at least on the Switch. Like I'm really excited for like Sonic Mania Plus on the Switch. You know, that's a game like I want to have, you know, when the apocalypse comes.
True. I mean, you can do stuff with physical versions of games. You can resell them or trade them or give them to a friend or do whatever. And you're kind of stuck when you have digital versions. But I just love having everything self-contained. So I can just grab my Switch and know that I've got 50 games ready to be played or whatever, and I don't have to switch cartridges or bring, you know, a case with games in it or anything like that. So that's sort of where I'm at. But I do think that there's probably more disadvantages to digital than there are advantages. But c'est la vie.
Hey, I get it. You don't want to get up, you know, grab where your case of Switch games is and switch them out. I am being completely unironic when I say I understand that.
Yeah. Well, I'm like the ultra organized person that all my time with Game Boy and then Game Boy Advance and then DS and then 3DS, all my time through all of that is I would buy case after case after case because I was trying to find that one perfect case that would just fit all the games in it perfectly and my little system and just be nice and compact and easy to, you know, stick in my bag or whatever. And it just drove me nuts. And so when digital started becoming a thing, it was like, this is the solution for me. It's all inside. It's inside the computer. It's like in Zoolander. When the files are inside the computer, the games are inside the system. It's amazing to me. So I like to opt for that.
I can carry a bunch of cartridges in the Switch case I've got. But yeah, everything else I have is digital. But
yeah. I don't know. I'm living in the digital age, man. But anyway, forgot to mention Banner Saga is awesome. And so I'm excited for number 3. Huge Death Road to Canada Femur update is now out on mobile. And Rocket Cap made mention of a sequel or follow-up being in the works. I don't know if they've ever mentioned something like that before. This definitely caught my eye because I was like, ooh, a sequel? It makes sense. The 2-year anniversary is coming up in July, I think. July or August, of when the game launched on Steam originally. And then, of course, it came to mobile the following March, which was last year or so. But anyway, its 2-year anniversary is coming up, and they've supported the crap out of this game. both on desktop and mobile. And so this Femur update actually launched on desktop like last month. And so now it's out on mobile. And then going forward, they have two more big updates planned, both of which will make their way to mobile. And then somewhere around that 2-year anniversary mark, there will be parity between the mobile version and the desktop version. And they will also be equal in price because the price goes up $1 with each major update on mobile. And so the one that just came out has brought it up to $12.99. Two more big updates, two more dollars. We're going to end up being a $15 game just like it is on Steam. So that's kind of cool. But I think at that point, they figure beyond, you know, fixing things up or maybe adding some things in here or there, no more major updates because they're going to be busy working on a sequel slash follow-up. Whatever that may be, I'm very interested to find out because Death Road to Canada is a pretty okay game.
Yeah, it's coming to Switch this month too.
That's right. Yes, it is coming to Switch April 25th, I think, 24th.
Yes. Yeah, 25th.
That's very exciting. I'm going to have a hard time not buying it on Switch because I don't know. I love playing it on mobile. I think it plays fantastic on mobile, but how can you not have that game on just every system you own?
Right?
So I will probably end up buying it on Switch too, doing the old double dip. But anyway, we will definitely talk more about a Death Road sequel once there's more news to share. And final story I had for today or this week is Battleheart 2 is about 60% complete and it could possibly launch in June, according to a tweet from Mika Mobile. Specifically, their tweet says they have 3 out of 5 bosses done and the first 60% of the game is heavily tested and essentially final. They're still expecting to finish the remaining enemies sometime in May and a possible launch in June. This gets me super duper excited. Not many games I like more than Battleheart or even Battleheart Legacy, really. So Battleheart 2 was originally announced in 2016, so September, October, around that time. So it's been kind of a long time coming. So if it does, in fact, launch in June, that's my birthday month. So happy birthday to me. But if it doesn't launch in June, I don't know. I'll be patient. All this really tells me, though, is that it's getting really close. And so even if it doesn't make it by June, it's going to be shortly thereafter. And I can't wait. Love me some Battleheart.
Just going to party the whole month long.
I will party the whole month long. That's how my sister celebrates her birthdays. It's a birthday month. It's not a birthday. It should just be called birth month.
Exactly.
Because she does it the whole month long, and it's obnoxious but cute. I don't know. I let her get away with it, I guess. And so that's it for the news. How are we looking on time there, Carter? You should be keeping track of those sort of things.
Let's see. We are about 40 or so minutes in.
Okay. We got time. We can talk about some games on this video game podcast. How's that?
Wow. Oh, my God.
Lots of stuff actually launching this week. Touchgrind BMX 2 is a game, probably the one I've spent the most time with this week. And we had posted a early trailer or something along those lines. I forget when. I think late last year, something like that. So we kind of knew it was in the works. But the fact that it launched this week was a surprise to me. They gave a quick heads up to me on Twitter to let me know that it was actually out before even like the official press release went out or anything like that. So this totally caught me off guard. And in a good way. I was very excited to play Touchgrind. I love all the Touchgrind games. The BMX ones in particular are pretty cool. But this one's a different sort of beast. It's free to play-ish, which is probably not what a lot of people want to hear because all the other Touchgrind games are pretty much just pay once and whatever. But as far as a free-to-play game goes, I can't really find any sort of, you know, sticking points in this one. It's more or less the game is free and you download it and you get the first 3 levels are included. You have to complete certain missions and then level up to a certain level to unlock each one. But other than that, there's nothing you really have to buy. And then there's 6 additional levels that are DLC, like paid DLC. And you can buy them. I think they are like $3 a piece, or you can buy like a whole big bundle for $8 and just unlock everything. So I don't know. To me, that feels like just a free to try, you know, premium unlock sort of thing. But there is a sort of loot box system in this, and it's it goes to unlocking like customization stuff for your bike, like new types of handlebars and new wheels and new frames and new colors and all that jazz. And so it uses sort of like a loot box thing to unlock that stuff. But again, as far as I can tell, I don't see any way. I mean, you earn these loot boxes as you level up and play. And so as long as you're not like, you know, level one wanting to have this super hyper customized bike or whatever, you should be good to go to just unlock that stuff naturally as you play. You get a new box, you know, every so often during your level ups. So to me, I feel like this is just a free with premium DLC sort of game. And then the unlocking of items sort of thing will happen randomly but naturally. And then if you want, you can buy loot boxes, you know, as IAP as well. But I do not feel like it's necessary. So I definitely noticed a few comments of people being like, oh, I love Touch Grind. Oh, it's free to play. I'm over it. Don't dismiss it so quickly. It seems to be that the free to play stuff is actually more like just paid content. And, you know, gameplay wise, it's very much in line with the first Touch Grind BMX, which is super duper fun. The courses are all really cool. I'm starting to get back into the groove of learning how to do all the tricks and stuff like that. And really immense sense of satisfaction when you pull off some crazy tricks with a huge multiplier and they give you 1,000,000 points and you just feel really cool. And you know you can never do any of this stuff in real life. So it's a nice escape. But yeah, love me some Touch Grind, love Illusion Labs. And I don't know, it's free to download and try. It comes with 3 levels. There's no reason not to check it out. If you're super offended by the in-app purchase stuff, then, well, I don't know, better luck next time. But to me, I feel like it's not a deal breaker. It doesn't ruin the game at all. And it's another winning Touch Grind game. So check it out.
Yeah, they do just all kinds of good stuff. So it's hard to complain about anything they do.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of like their Mr. Crab games became super popular, more popular even than like their Touch Grind stuff. And so I feel like this is the Mr. Crab, you know, book of monetization, because that's very similar to how those games worked. You'd unlock customization items and stuff like that, and then you could buy new level packs, and it was all pretty friendly. So same sort of thing going on Touch Grind BMX too, but very, very good game so far. I've almost completed all the missions in the first level, and I've unlocked the second level, and everything about it is just super fun. So another game that I really liked when I saw it at GDC and it finally launched this week is Vandals. And I know that you played quite a bit of this because you're writing a review, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm writing a review, and it's actually been a little tough to review because... Yeah. Like, the game, it's like the unauthorized fourth game in the Square Enix Go series.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of like, it's not skating, but, you know, Jet Set Grind Go. Yeah.
Kind of is.
Yeah, it's, yeah, so if you like those kinds of, like, turn-based strategy puzzlers, it's that exactly that, you know, you make your move, then guards make a move, and you're trying to avoid them, but the way that you beat levels is you have to make it to a spot where there's a wall where you spray graffiti. Yeah. And what's cool is like you can you know doodle your own design or you like create a name and then you can use like a bunch of different fonts and just spray that and then you have to get to the exit. And
I draw a penis?
You can.
Oh, I'm sold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could definitely draw penises.
So it's funny because, you're totally spot on in the fact that this is very much a Hitman Go, Lara Croft Go game. I mean, through and through. I can't fault someone for like using that sort of same design because it's not like, I mean, it's its own art style and it's its own theme and stuff like that. And it's definitely different levels and things like that. But I mean, the idea behind it is very almost spot on similar to the Go games. So I don't know if that'll rub you the wrong way. Personally, I feel like at this point in time, it's just a type of game now. And so to see other types, you know, other companies making that type of game isn't that crazy to me. And they also, you know, the graffiti thing, I think, puts its own spin on it. The graffiti and the theming, I think, set it apart a lot because they put a lot of work into, you know, the different like areas where the levels take place are through different, you know, periods in time and different, you know, cities across the world and stuff like that, which I feel like tells kind of a neat story. And then, gimmicky as it may be, the drawing your own graffiti thing is awesome. Like, I have so much fun doing that. And it's a love it or hate it sort of thing. Cause I've seen some people be like, what is this stupid graffiti drawing thing? I hate this. I just want to play the puzzle parts. And I'm like, that's fine. But for me, you know, I'll spend so much damn time drawing a graffiti that, I'll be done and then I'll get out of the puzzle and be like, what was I doing again? Like, what's my next move? Like, I totally forgot because I just got lost in drawing graffiti. And so that I think is really cool. I think it's gimmicky, yeah, but I think it's a neat gimmick and I think it sets it apart from the other turn-based sort of, you know, puzzle board game sort of whatevers of the Go series. So, I think my one knock so far is that it's not a very challenging game. Maybe that changes later, but the first few sections are not very hard at all. But drawing graffiti is fun, so you know, no complaints for me. It's a $5 game. I feel like it's definitely worth the money, and it's premium. You know, no in-app purchase stuff or whatever. So if you like the Go games, and there hasn't been a new one in a while, this will definitely scratch that same sort of itch.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think my one problem that I had with like Deus Ex Go was just that I think I was getting a bit tired of the formula, but if you're not tired of that formula at all, then definitely pick this up. It's as good as those, for better or for worse.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little too similar, but at the same time, I mean, if you wanted to make a turn-based, you know, stealth puzzler or whatever, I mean, that's kind of, there's only so many ways you can do that, I guess.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I thought Vandals is a really cool game. So if you like those Go games, it's definitely worth a fiver. Let's see what other games. You play anything else this week? Or
I haven't had time to play a lot of the new releases. I think that game Golem Rage came out, right?
Oh yeah, that came out a little bit later. I had been looking forward to this one for a while. We had been posting about it for like a couple of years because it's been in the work that long, and then they post stuff on our forums all the time. I think they used a bunch of beta testers from our community. So this game was very much on my radar for a long time, and it was cool to actually see it finally release. And it's an interesting idea. It's sort of an auto runner mixed with a beat 'em up, kind of in the same vein as something like Punch Quest, but not exactly the same. It's more like, I don't know how to explain this. I mean, it's kind of like a horizontal shooter. I mean, you play as this golem and, you know, it's sort of like a parallel story to like, you know, Frankenstein's monster or whatever, where these, you know, soldiers create this golem out of wood, bring him to life thinking he's going to, you know, be their weapon or whatever. And he ends up being like, I don't want to do stuff for you. I'm just going to smash things. And so it's this confused, you know, abomination that everyone is out to kill now because he's sort of got his own free will. And so you're just this scared golem. You don't know why you were brought into this world. And so you're just kind of smashing everything in your path and trying to escape. And so you pretty much are just sliding your character up and down the screen. It's kind of a side-scrolling runner. But then there's all these beat-em-up mechanics thrown in too. So when you come across a group of enemies, you can kind of do some different combos and special moves on them and roll into them and dizzy them and do all this cool stuff. It works fairly well. I feel like it's not as impactful as I was hoping it would be in terms of like the actual mechanics. Like the slidiness feels a little floaty and the combat doesn't feel as satisfying as like an actual beat 'em up. But overall, it seems pretty cool, but it wasn't quite what I was hoping it would be, I guess, is how I would explain it. So I don't know. Golem Rage, it's a paid game. So seems to be a theme this week, but a paid premium game, if you can remember such a thing. And so if you like to support that sort of endeavor, $3. $3 will get you Golem Rage. There's tons of levels and stuff like that. I need to stick with it longer because it could just be that things start out slow or whatever. But definitely a well-made game, got a really awesome art style, cool little story, a neat mashup of mechanics. I feel like on paper, everything is really awesome for this one. It just hasn't grabbed me yet, but I'm not losing hope. I'm going to stick with it. Other people on our forums have seemed to be liking it. So $3, I feel like you could do worse buying a video game for $3 than Golem Rage, you know? I guess you could put that on the back of the box. You could do worse. There was something else I played this week. Let's see. It's the awesome part of the podcast where I just whistle because I'm thinking. So this game came out this week called Original Journey, and it kind of came out of nowhere. And apparently it was a Steam game like last year or something like that. And so our forums started going crazy. This is yet again another paid game with no in-app purchases or whatever. And so there's definitely a contingent of people on our forums that just go nuts for anything that's a premium game. And, you know, with good reason. It's few and far between anymore. But anyway, yeah, $2.99. It's called Original Journey, originally launched on Steam. And so kind of following along with the discussion thread, seeing tons of positive comments and stuff like that. And then I even watched videos and was like, it just didn't click with me, like what the hell the game was, like what you did. Like it seemed like somebody mentioned dual stick shooter, but it's not top down, but it's a side view. But then it's also a tower defense game, but then it's a platformer. But then, and I was like, what is this game? So I bought it and I downloaded it and it's all those things. It's like, it's kind of crazy. It's really, you know, you play this alien race and then you're this new recruit in this alien army. And then you're supposedly going to this weird, dangerous planet to harvest, you know, energy resources or whatever, you know, according to the upper management that's giving you this this task. But you seem to think that there's something up with that and there's more to the story than just, you know, regular old resource harvesting. So. But the way the game plays is, yes, it's kind of a platformer. You use a virtual joystick to run and jump and then shoot. The shooting mechanic is actually really interesting. There's a fire button on the screen, and then you press it to fire, and then you slide it up or down to change, like, your aim, you know, upwards or downwards or whatever. And that's actually really fun in practice. And then so each mission is going to the world that you're on is just a series of these floating islands. So each level is essentially a different island where a bunch of enemies will attack you. And so you fight them off using your shooting mechanic. And there's a ton of different weapons that you can like collect and build and then use. So far, I have like a regular machine gun, and then I have a grenade launcher, and then I just unlocked the shotgun. And so they all have their different, you know, special attributes or whatever. But so when the aliens are coming in on you, you're shooting them that way. But you also have these like towers that you can set up, or these turrets, I guess they are. And that's where sort of the tower defense thing comes in. So based on the terrain of the planet, and it kind of seems like it's different each time, you'll plant down your turrets in, you know, strategic places depending on where the swarms of enemies are, and then you'll kind of run around yourself shooting as many as you can, kind of helping out the turrets or whatever. So it's sort of like a Kingdom Rush or whatever. It's like a tower defense where you're also an active participant, which I think is really cool. But it's also not top down. It's a side scrolling platformer game. So it's really a mashup of all of that stuff. And it's awesome. It's super awesome. Like, I could see why so many people in the forums were liking it so much. It's just a really, really unique game. It has this really monochromatic art style that seems really cool. The alien, you know, character designs and stuff are super out there. And the dialogue even is pretty good. Like, I don't know. I can't really think of too many bad things to say about this Original Journey game. And so I don't know how well received it was on Steam, but it makes a really good mobile game. And so I guess this is the third game in a row we're talking about that's a premium game. So if your wallet can take it, I would totally suggest checking out Original Journey. If any of the things I just mentioned sound fun to you, it's a really, really unique game. And yeah, everyone seems to be loving it, myself included.
You're just going to bankrupt all of us, Jared.
$3 at a time, or less than $5 at a time. It does add up, though. It's the funny thing about owning a Switch. And I mean, on mobile, you know, we have a TouchArcade account that we buy everything through, and me and Eli share games and stuff like that. And in general, I mean, we'll buy stuff when it comes out. You know, it's our job to check out every game pretty much. So I don't usually think too much about having to buy a game. But when it's my Switch, it's like, that's my money now. So yeah. Even though like a lot of the games on Switch are cheaper, you know, and even in the like sub $10 range or whatever, those things add up. And I just yesterday was looking at the games on sale and was like, oh, cool. A bunch of stuff on my wish list is on sale. Let me go through and add up how much it'd be if I bought every one that I wanted. And it was like $140 something. And I was like, what? It's like, what? I can't spend $140 on video games. I have a mortgage. So, yeah, it's a different world from in the world of Switch when you're spending your own money. Even though they're still cheap, it adds up.
Yeah, I want to go ham on the Nicalis sale, and I'm like, I want to buy Shovel Knight for the Switch. Then I'm like, I don't want to drop like $100 or more on Switch games all at once.
No, and that's kind of what it is, especially with the Nicalis stuff. Is like, you know, Binding of Isaac was 40, and now it's like 32. I mean, that's a cool discount, but that's still an over $30 game. And so their other ones are in the mid 20 range. So it's like, if you throw a bunch of those together, you're over $100 really pretty quickly. So I don't know. I might break down and buy one or two of those and see what happens. The other problem I have is that there's so many games that I have already on the 3DS that are now on the Switch, and I'm just like, want them on the Switch now, but I already own them on the 3DS. Like V is that's on sale right now too. And that I think is like $8 or something like that. Like that's a steal for the game. That game's amazing. I mean, I beat it to death on 3DS and mobile. And so it's like, do I really need it on Switch? But I know that I probably will get it anyway. So I don't know. It's a tough life we have, I guess, being a video gamer.
We suffer.
We suffer. I think about it for game discussion, unless you got anything you want to throw out there.
No, I don't think we're all good.
It was a strong week of releases. So
can't say week in the comments.
Nope. And if you do, it'll get filtered through our comment, you know, thing. So good luck. But anyway, yeah, good week. A lot of paid games. Hopefully you got some extra money you can spend on some of them, because a lot of good stuff. And if you don't have anything else, I guess we can drive this one off the freeway. Is that what you say when you're done with the podcast? Drive it home.
Let's drive this one off the freeway.
That seems like a fitting ending to this podcast. So thank you again so much for listening and tuning in this week to the Touch Arcade Show. Like I mentioned at the top of the hour, we are primarily supported through Patreon. So if you enjoy what we do, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade. And if Patreon is not your thing, you can always support us by using our Amazon affiliate link, which is toucharcade.com/Amazon. Just click on that. It'll send you through to Amazon. You can do all your normal Amazon shopping as you would, and we'll get a little tiny slice of it, which can go a long ways towards helping us out. And the free thing that you can do to help us out is tell your friends and family and loved ones who all like mobile games that toucharcade.com is a website that exists on the internet, because just spreading awareness is a huge help to us that a lot of people probably don't realize. Other than that, you can find us on the other parts of the internet. You can find us on twitter.com/toucharcade, twitch.tv/toucharcade. Do we have other things? Oh, discord.gg/TouchArcade. That's our Discord chat, which is a lively place to hang out. Lots of game discussion, lots of developer interaction. We're still giving away Fortnite codes, even though you don't need a code anymore. But people keep asking for them, so we just kind of make up some numbers and give them to them and see what happens.
I still have an invite. I need to give it away just so I don't have it appear on my menu anymore.
Yeah, I have invites too, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to do with those. I should just give them to someone, huh? We read some emails at the top of the hour, and we'd like to do more of that. But in order to do that, we need your help by sending us emails. So to do that, podcast@toucharcade.com. Send us any sort of comments or questions or ridicule us. The sickest burns you can think of, send our way. Whatever it is, just send it. We read them all. And when appropriate, we will read them on the show. And you'll be internet famous by being mentioned on a podcast that some people listen to. Carter, am I forgetting anything? Is there anything else I should mention?
We need a an official Touch Arcade Tinder account.
Oh God, let's not. I mean, hey, we could do that. Who would answer the call of the Tinder matches?
I mean, I could. I'm single and ready to Pringle.
Single and ready to eat some Pringles. So if you want to get in touch with Carter for dating purposes, podcast@toucharcade.com. I'll make sure he gets the email. Soon to be seen on Tinder as well, maybe. Probably not. And with that, I think we will wrap this one up. Thanks again, Carter, for joining us. We'll do something dastardly to Eli so that he's not around next week and he can join us again.
All right. Sounds fun.
And thank you, everyone out there, for listening. And we'll see you again next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.